morning. Got a few people here, less than 10 for sure. Actually, exactly 10. So we're good. We're good on that one. This is an interesting way of meeting together, isn't it? I like it. I actually kind of like it. It's kind of cool. And we're so glad you're here. If you're here from the invitation from Facebook, thank you. Thanks for coming. Appreciate it very much. And so I have a number of issues that I'd like to talk about, first of all. And that would be a number of years ago, there was a man, actually three young men who went into the national, I think it was the National Forest. I forget where it was. It wasn't really reported to that as to exactly where it was, but if you go into a national forest situation, the national, you have to tell the park rangers when you're going in and when you're coming out. So they can, you know, if you never come out, they have a problem, you know, or you'll have a problem. So these three guys, they went in, they had a survival guide on how to start fires and how to navigate through all this stuff, and they thought they were well. And they got lost. They didn't come out. And the park rangers realized that these guys did not come out. And it's an absolutely true story. So what they did was they started looking for them, but these guys were so lost, it was unbelievable. And they couldn't do anything, but the book was really kind of worthless for them, how to start a fire. I don't know how they did this, but what they did was, it was getting night, it was dropping, the temperature was dropping, they were fearing that they were going to get eaten alive by animals. They feared the hypothermia, these kinds of issues that they were confronted with. So what they did was they lit the manual and started it on fire. They lit the manual on fire, and they thought, well, we might as well use the paper and get ourselves warm and that kind of stuff with the manual. And what they did with that is that the rescuers saw that fire at night and came and rescued them out of the woods. They rescued them. And that's the title of our little discussion this morning, is Out of the Woods. And the text I'd like us to look at is Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. If you would turn with me on to that, I'd appreciate it. Actually, you would. You would too. We're looking at Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at this. We're doing a study on the epistle to the Romans. I have been.
This is just going to give it, it's a different way to do it, but.
And the thing about it is, one of the beauties of this is you look through.
It's like a meeting, so you see him small.
One of the beautiful things, I think they have to mute on their end.
Sorry.
Okay, if you're watching this, please mute yourself, if that's cool. That's cool. A lot of people have told me that myself without a computer. Just mute. Shut up, Chris. Okay, so. The whole epistle, if you wanted to know what the Bible taught, or what does the Bible really teach about justification by faith, you go to the epistle to the Romans. The epistle to the Romans is going to give you and unpackage for you what it means to be born again, what it means to be justified by faith. One of the great, and this is the first 8 chapters of the book of Romans, is doing that for us and giving us tremendous unpackaging of that great doctrine of justification by faith alone, in Christ alone. 9 through 11 is talking about how God is working with Israel. And it's really talking, 9 is talking about the past, 10 chapter 10 is talking about the present of Israel, and then 11, the future, and then 12 through 16, in terms of our sanctification, how we are going to look at, how we are going to live this life. And so when we look at this, when we look at this chapter, chapter 5, he just gets done with the fantastic exposition on what does it mean to be born again, what does it mean to be justified. And then in chapter 5, he's going to continue that theme, but in verses 1 through 11, he's going to give us results of justification. So justification by faith gives us three blessed results from which we can rejoice. We can know, we can grow, and we can rejoice in. And so we might ask the question, what are these results? Well, in verses 1 through 2 of Romans chapter 5, justification by faith results in a right position before God. And in verses 3 through 5, justification by faith results in a real power from God, or in God. And then verses 6 through 11, we're only going to go to 11. We're going to deal next week with 12 through 12. But justification by faith results in a rich, because of a rich provision from God. And that's verses 6 through 11. And so when we look at this, I'm going to read these. Therefore, being justified by faith, I'm reading from the King James Version of the Bible. Yours might be different, ESV or whatever. It's just follow along. And it says this, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. And patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. And when we are yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man would some even dare to die. But God demonstrated his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. So we look at this and we see these, that justification by faith results in three blessed results. And in verses 1 and 2, we see that justification results by faith results in a right position before God. And then verse 1, we see a right position in our standing. A right position in our standing. And so let's just break this down. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. One of the beautiful things about the book of Romans and what Paul is telling us to do and to look at is the idea that here that we are not set before God. We're not right before God by anything that we've done. Paul later writes, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And then, you know, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So how do I have a right stand before God? How do I get this right standing before God? And it's by faith. It's not faith in what? Faith not in my ability to gain merit before God by doing good works or doing good things. No, I can't never do that. It'll never work. In fact, it's endless, isn't it? I tried for years to be the best person I could possibly be. I never got drunk. I never drank more than a sip of beer, you know, when my dad or, you know, can I have a taste of that drink or something like that? That's all. I've never been loaded. I've never smoked on the weed. I've never had any of that kind of stuff. And in my era, that was a big deal. I knew a lot of guys who were toking on the weed, the reefer, you know, and all this kind of stuff, and lacing it with mescaline and all. Never did that kind of thing. Not because the reason is I wanted to make it to God. If I were to die, I wanted to go to heaven. That's one of the big reasons I wanted to do that. I didn't want to do that kind of stuff. And that didn't do a thing for me, in the sense that that didn't do anything, that didn't gain me any merit with God. The thing that gained merit for me was what Jesus Christ did on the cross. What he did on the cross for me, why he died on the cross. Think of it this way. Why did he die on the cross? If we could get to heaven by doing something good, why did Jesus die? God would just say, I'm going to leave it up to you. Do the best you can and see if you make the scale. No way. He didn't do that. What he did was he sent his son to die on the cross, to rise again from the dead physically, God in the flesh. And when I place my faith in him and that act that he did on my behalf, I therefore am justified. I am having a right stand before God, and it's charged to my account. It's imputed, charged to my account. He gives me his righteousness. He takes my sinfulness and he gives me his righteousness. It's called the exchange life. And this is exactly what Jesus Christ did for me and what he's done for you. This is one of the greatest, in fact, it's not one of the greatest, it is the greatest news anyone could ever hear. Because you know as well as I do, we tried for years to gain merit before God. It never works. Never works. Never. And so what happens is, he says, therefore, being justified by faith. And because of that, the results of this is that in our standing before God, I stand before God, we have peace with God. That's a subjective result for sure. But I have a right stand before God. When he looks at me, he sees me through the blood of his son. His son's blood, that when he died on the cross and shed his blood for me, washes me clean. He will not see my sin because Jesus Christ washed it away. This is fantastic. Jesus Christ wasn't just some martyr, and he wasn't some guy that was, you know, hey, listen, I think I'm going to do some good deeds, follow my example. No, he was my substitute. He died in my place. He died in your place. And when I realize that I cannot do it myself, and realize that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, that he did die on that cross and shed his blood to wash away my sins, and then 3 days later rose again physically from the dead, I have that moment when I receive him as my Savior and believe on him, I have everlasting life, also justified before him. 49 years ago today, I trusted Christ as my Savior. 49 years ago today, I trusted Christ as my Savior. I came into the realization that that's exactly what I needed to do. When somebody told me this, a friend of mine, a Protestant, I was raised Irish Roman Catholic, and a Protestant told me how I could get to heaven. I thought, you don't know. You can't know. Nobody can know, but the beautiful fact is you can know, because God says in his word in 1 John 5:13, I write these things unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That standing with him never changes. It doesn't diminish. It's not contingent on how I live. No way. It's all based on what he has done and my reception of him as my personal Savior. Wow. So therefore, being justified by faith. I love this. I love this. And that's our standing. And then it says we have peace with God. We have peace with God. So therefore, it's the war's over inside. Maybe if you can get this on internet land, maybe you can see what my feeling was. It was just like this. It was just like this. When I received Christ as my Savior, it was just like this. It's over. The war was over. I didn't know that I was experiencing the peace of God, the subjective result of the grace of God. I didn't know that at that time. I just had it. And I was at peace with God. And I received that peace. The war was over. The enmity between me and God finished. There was no more. I'm hostile towards God. And actually, God's not hostile towards me because he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die in my place to pay the penalty I richly deserve to pay, and he paid it in full. And so this is the beautiful. And my standing is I have peace with God, not through my works, not through church attendance. Notice this, church attendance. I think this is really kind of cool. You know, we're church attending right now, virtually in your own home, right? And I mean, that's not going to do it for you. It's just not going to do it for you. What does it for you is the Lord Jesus Christ. That gives me a right stand before God. And I have peace with God. And then in verse 2, we see not only a right position in verse 1 of our standing, and this is what Paul does oftentimes. Paul first gives our standing, then he talks to us about how are we living, our state. Look at verse 2. It says, By whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I want to constantly, and that's why the reading of the Word of God, the Bible, is so powerful in my life daily. And not like one little dinky verse, you know, like Jesus wept. You know, I read that 30 days every day. I guess you could do that, but, you know, there's so many things in the Bible that can really bless your socks off. And so what happens is, you know, we look at this, we have access, but the most beautiful thing we could ever talk about and what the Word of God talks about, we have access to a person who is alive by the resurrection from the dead. We're not talking to some dead guru or following a code of ethics. No, we're not doing that. We have a relationship with God, a powerful relationship with God, by whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. We stand in this grace, and so because of that, we have peace and we have the hope of God. Notice this, we rejoice in that hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in this. I had a friend of mine, I found out last night, he passed away from coronavirus 19 or whatever that's called. He passed away from it in Jersey, Larry Allen. And Larry, I haven't seen Larry in a long time. I knew him in New Jersey, and that's where he passed away last night in the hospital. They said he was responding good to treatment, but then all of a sudden he's gone. And that was shocking to get that. I received that news off of Facebook from his now widow. And it just really interesting to see how she knows where he is. She says, quote, I am going to see him again. I will be with him, her husband, Larry, again. That's hope. I have a friend of mine that has 1 week to live. His name is Bill Myers. We call him Billy Myers. Big guy, you saw his father get shot to death in the Bronx. Bill Myers sold heroin on the streets of New York City and the Bronx and other places, and then received Christ as his personal savior at Yonkers Gospel Chapel or Bethany Bible Chapel in Yonkers, New York. It's just an incredible conversion story. And then he's lived his life, and now he is the cancer is back, lymphoma, and they gave him a week to live. And so he's asking people, if you want to come and see me, I don't think the virus is going to affect me. You know, he's got this hope. He knows where he's going. This is so incredible to me. Why? Not because he was a churchgoer, not because he was a nice guy, not because of any of those things, but because of Jesus Christ. And our state is, this is where we rejoice in this, in the glory of God. And every day we can rejoice. Every day we can thank him for that, because we do not know. We do not know the time of our departure from this earth. We don't know it. Nobody can guarantee it. Not one person can guarantee it. Oh, you can go probables on this, but statistically speaking, but you don't know. You just plain don't know. And so this is the thing that we, you know, he gives us a right position. When I went to Jordan, I was in Jordan. They did not care, the country Jordan, trying to get into Israel through the Allenby Bridge. We landed in Amman, and then we went across the Allenby Bridge. We had to hold up our passports. They didn't care who we were, except if we didn't have that passport and put it right next to our face, right there, like this, showing our picture, and our guide says, don't smile, don't do anything, you know. And when these Israelis came in and onto the bus, the other one circling the bus at the Allenby Bridge, which only one lane on this one, and we're like this, these guys were not, they didn't look happy with the M16s and the big bulletproof vests and everything. They didn't look like, we wanted to strike up a real friendship. All they wanted to see was my standing. They wanted to see what my standing was. And it was beautiful, because when I came back home, we went out of JFK and came back to JFK in New York City. When we came back home, I literally kissed the ground. I went down and I thank you, Lord, I'm home. I appreciate it very much. And my state, where I was, matched my standing. And that's exactly where we want to be with this. We want our lives to live our lives in light of who we are as Christians. We are justified by faith. And he is going to help us to rejoice in this and to have that hope every moment of every day, which is going to make a difference in how we live. Going to make a difference. And the question is, do you know that you have a right position for God? You know that you have this. This is very critical for us to know. And not only does justification by faith result in a right position, but justification by faith results in a real power from God or in God. And we see that in verses 3 through 5. In verse 3a, notice it says, and not only so, we have this hope in God, verse 2, in the glory of God, but not only so, not only that, but we glory in tribulations. I find this an interesting thing. We glory in tribulations. The Lord Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer, I will overcome the world. We will have tribulations. We Christians are not exempt from problems. They're not exempt. My friend Larry Allen, a born-again believer, died from this virus, that why we're meeting this way virtually. A Christian, tribulations that the whole family is going through right now. Billy Meyer, Christian. Tribulations for his family. These things. Christians are not exempt from problems. And so when we go through these, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations on both accounts, the widow of Larry and the family of Billy Meyer and Billy himself. Just examples of how gracious God has made the person who is about to check out from this life and check into either heaven or hell, one of the two. The Christian knows how to die well. Know how to die well, that's for sure. And the beautiful thing about this, and it says, and not only says, but we glory in tribulations. Wow, folks. I try to avoid these things myself. I'm not a real fan of tribulations. I'm not looking for them. Sometimes I cause them my own self, but this is not what he's talking about. These are sufferings. The NIV translates this sufferings. The Amplified Bible translates this troubles, pressure, afflictions. And you know, this is where a lot of people are, especially today. I do not know if you've watched the news or you're on the cable watching the different news channels and all that, you see real panic in people. You see fear, real fear in people's lives. You see that I do not know how somebody can live in this state, not Michigan, but in the state of which we are in. I don't know how they're doing it without Jesus Christ. There's only one glorious hope, and it's not in a vaccine. It's in Jesus Christ. It's not in anything else but him. He takes us through those sufferings and that pressure and that affliction. And then notice what he says, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience. The New American Standard Bible translates this perseverance. The NIV, the Amplified Bible, I like this part. The Amplified Bible says unswerving endurance. Unswerving endurance. When I think of something that's unswerving, it's steady. I think of the great running back. What's his first name? Hunt. Kareem Hunt. Graduated from the high school that I went to. You know, great running back for Kansas City now. And he's had some troubles, no questions about it. But I think those linebackers, when they see Kareem Hunt coming out of the backfield and running at them, I think they get a little bit nervous. Well, they want to stop him, but he runs right through them. It's just like Earl Campbell used to do. Earl Campbell, who played for the Houston Oilers, when he came out of that backfield, he ran people over. They got film of him butting heads and smashing into the chest and the guy falling down and him trampling the guy. It's like a bull. Just trampling the guy. And he's had two hip replacements now and everything. But I mean, this is amazing. And this is unswerving endurance, keeping at it. One of the beautiful things about a guy named Sweetness, Walter Payton, who played for the Chicago Bears, is that the guy never swerved. He just went at you and kept running and kept going and did not quit. And this is what God gives us. He gives us in those tribulations, in that tribulation, he works endurance. In fact, that's one of the reasons why we go through these tribulations, because God is building into us spiritual muscle. You do not gain spiritual muscle apart from the troubles that we experience. It's what you do with them that's the issue. It's what you do with them. If you lean on the Lord and consistently go to him during those times, your endurance increases. God gives you the strength to do what you need to do. And so he gives us this patience, and tribulation worketh patience. And then look at verse 4a and 4b, and patience experience works experience. And this word experience is approved faith and tried integrity. Character, one translation renders it. Character. God doesn't, I really am a believer in this, that it doesn't matter what you look like. It's who you are as a person in terms of your character. Who are you before God? Who are you before other people? And sometimes God allows us to go through these great trying times, not only to give us unswerving endurance, but also in that crucible, in that firing of that, in the fire that we're going through, he gives us and builds into us character. We might not see it, but it's being built into us. Others will see it, however. Others will see it. The character that God brings into our lives because of the proved faith and tried integrity. And then notice what he says. So you have patience, experience, and experience, or approved, tried, and integrity. Hope. This hope that he gives to us. The hope. Because, see, being a Christian is a relationship with a living God. It's not espousing doctrinal issues. Those things are important, no questions about it. But it's based off of, it is the hope that he gives to us, the hope and then also love. This hope and love. And this is so powerful for us. Patience, experience, and experience, hope. And hope makes not ashamed, verse 5. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. The more we depend on God through those tribulations, the more we will know of God. The more we will know of God. So every one of us goes through tribulation. It's what we do with those, and when we yield ourselves to him, he gives us that endurance. He gives us that patience. That's what patience is. He gives us that. He gives us that hope, and he gives us that character. He gives us all that we need. Everything that we need. How could you possibly go through this? And I'm reminded, and I've shared this story before, but one of our folks in our assembly, they lost their 21-month-old baby. And in the midst of crying, in the midst of heartache, in the midst of the incredible grief that they experienced, I remember being in the room with them. The wife, the mother, you know, everybody's crying, and she looks at me and said, "How are you doing?" I couldn't believe her, Angel. She was just so precious to me. How are you doing? She was caring about how I was doing in that situation. You know, you think about, well, how would I have responded in this? I you know, we can talk about that, I guess, and say, you know, I would have been a basket case. I probably would have been. Probably she was strong in her relationship with God, and in the midst of that incredible pain and agony that she was experiencing at the loss of, she was wondering how I was doing. Her husband right there with her. And just, I think to myself, this is amazing to me, that hope and that love is shed abroad in our hearts. And so when we yet, okay, so the hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. Wow. We've got a great God who resides in the believer. He resides, he takes up his residence. This is where Paul writes. He says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is a relationship that we have with God. A friend of mine and son is preaching right now virtually to Oakwood Bible Chapel. And he's preaching right now and he's talking about the omnipresence of God. And he is there. He is with us. Emmanuel, God with us. And for the Christian, it's God in us. That's the beautiful thing. So we look at this and we say, wow, we rejoice in this. We rejoice in this incredible hope. And so, you know, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, how could you not love him? When you know this material and you know what he has done for us and you know what he has done for the believer, for you, if you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you know this, how could you not love him? We love him because he first loved us. My love for him is weak and feeble and that kind of, but I have it because he loves me. He cares for me. How can I not love this great God? This great God. You know, a lot of times we wonder why we go through such deep waters. Somebody once simply said once that a Christian is like a tea bag. This is really a simple illustration, isn't it? A Christian is like a tea bag. You don't know its strength until it's in hot water. And that is really the case. If you'll excuse me just for a moment, we see this, one of our students here in a tea bag. And I don't want to spill this, but you look at this tea bag and you don't know it, the strength of it until it's in hot water. And then it becomes nice aroma and tastes good. And this is the thing that we want to have in our lives. This is what we want. God allows us to get into that hot water so his strength can be in our lives. A real power. Do we understand that justification by faith, when you have a relationship with God, you've been justified by faith, not only does he give you a right position, but he gives you a real power. Do you understand that? Do we understand this? And so in times like this, when we're home and cloistered, I mean, are you kidding me? We're not in a dungeon. You know, we've got comfortable chairs, and we can go to the refrigerator. And I think the thing that we're really suffering, if we have to use a napkin instead of regular toilet paper, because all the toilet paper is gone, you know, we think, oh my word, what a tragedy, you know. Oh man, wait a second. Let's think about some church history here of when people were incarcerated for their belief and beaten and then left in a dungeon, strapped into a wall. So not only does justification by faith result in a right position before God and a real power from God, but also, why? Because of a rich provision from God. Because of a rich provision from God. And we see that in verses 6 through 11. In verses 6 and 7, it's a rich provision through substitution. And in verse 8, it's a rich provision in demonstration. And then in verses 9 through 11, it's a rich provision of salvation. And so we look at this, it's a rich provision through substitution. Notice verses 6 and 7. For when we were yet without strength, and that when it says strength in the King James, I'm not sure what other translations are rendering this, but it means moral weakness, moral weakness. We don't have the strength to be right before God. And that's everybody's plight. Doesn't matter. You know, when we compare ourselves morally, we have moral comparison, right? Well, I'm better than Frank over here, or I'm better than Mary over here. It doesn't matter. Before God, we're weak. We're weak morally. When we were yet without strength, we don't have it. We cannot live this. It's got to be God in and through us. That's what it has to be. When we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It's a rich provision because of what Jesus Christ, our substitute, did for us by substituting himself and putting himself into the place where we deserve the wrath. He took it for us, as we have already previously said. So it's a rich provision through substitution. And we see this in verse 7. So scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man would some even dare to die. We've heard of a lot of individuals have said, you know, and we've seen this of soldiers or of somebody giving their life. I think of Dawson Trotman. Dawson Trotman, the founder of the Navigators, up in Scroon Lake, New York. They were out on the lake. This is with the Word of Life Bible Institute and Word of Life Ministries. They were on the lake having a good time. People were swimming and everything. Jumping out of the boat. The lake is huge. I mean, it's very big lake. And somebody started to drown. Dawson Trotman, the founder, he was the same kind of guy like Bill Bright finding Campus Crusade for Christ or founding it. Dawson Trotman founded the Navigators, gave us the Navigator Wheel, all these things, you know, the Bridge to Life, that gospel tract, etc. That's the Navigators. And it was primarily to military personnel. That's where you wanted to go with this at the beginning. And so Dawson Trotman sees this person in trouble, dives in and saves this individual, pushing him up to the surface, and the people in the boat rescued him up, and Dawson Trotman drowned doing that. He drowned in doing that. We look at that and we say, how magnanimous is that? You know, for one to give his life for another. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us, that's for sure. And then notice what he says. We look at this, for scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man would some even dare to die. Some even would dare to die. So we see this rich provision through substitution, dying in our place, taking our place. But notice what it says in terms of the rich provision through demonstration. And it says, but God demonstrated. Notice this. He showed his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for us. What an incredible, incredible thing. While we were yet sinners, we hated God. I've heard somebody say to me at Rutgers University years ago, I said, hey, just wanted to let you know Jesus loved you. And he looked at me and said, I hate God. Well, God sent his son Jesus Christ to die for that man, to die for me. When we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And it gets worse. It gets worse. Because notice the salvation that he provides for us in spite of us. Much more than verse 9. Now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We were enemies of God. Well, I wasn't mad at God. What's wrong with you, Chris? You can't say that. Actually, God knows the heart. God knows the heart of man. And God is telling us that we were enemies of his. Why? Because there's no neutral ground. We are either with him or we are against him. And our sin separates us from him. And so this is the thing that is so important for us to understand. When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What is salvation that he has given to us? What an incredible salvation he has given to us. Powerful, the salvation that he's given to us. He saved us with his life. We were enemies, now we are reconciled to God because of the death of Jesus Christ. And notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We beg you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. This is the thing for us. We need to be reconciled with God. If we're not, but the beautiful thing about this is that we can be. We can be reconciled. Wow. Wow, we can be. This is beautiful. We can be. It's a salvation that he has provided for us. And in verse 11 it said, and not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the reconciliation. Like I said before, the war's over. I've received the reconciliation. I'm his, and he is mine. And everybody can have that. I like to read a poem that a friend of mine wrote, and I'm sure she's with the Lord. I have not seen her for 30-some years, and she was very frail then. When I was a brand-new Christian back in 1971, it was the summer now, somebody told me about the East Lake Christian Bookstore in East Lake, Ohio, on Lakeshore Boulevard. And in East Lake, Ohio, the Christian gift and supply store. And it was attached to this lady's house, and she would come out of her house and run the store. And so I would go there and I'd look at all the little trinkets and the Bibles and all these things that she would sell. You know, that was my first introduction to Christian bookstores. And this woman was so, she seemed very frail. Her name was Hildred Hartman. And Hildred was just a precious, gentle, patient, you know, with a moron like me, you know. And I would ask her questions, and she would be very gentle with me and careful. And she, you know, she was just a wonderful, wonderful saint of God. And so I remember I would be distressed. I'd really be upset about, you know, I was 19 years of age, and I would have problems in my life, you know, and I would go, and she'd say, well, let's pray. And she'd take her icy cold hands and take my hands, and I'd be enveloped with her icy cold hands. I'll never forget. She'd grab my hands, and she would pray ever so gently to the Lord for me on my behalf. One day I went there, and she said, I would like to give you a poem that I wrote. I'd say, yeah, I love it. I'm not a real poetry type guy. I'm really not, but this is fantastic. This is fantastic. It's titled For Me. That's the title of it, For Me. For me, he left heaven's bright glory, incarnate deity. Dark cattle shed, bleak manger bed. He humbled himself for me. For me, he prayed in the garden, submissive authority. The answer came, oh, praise his name. He anguished in love for me. For me, he suffered the scorn, the cross, in blood and agony. Sin blackened the sun. God's Holy One was crucified there for me. For me, he left the cavern tomb, and death lost the victory. Christ is the King. Let angels sing. He opened heaven for me. Dear friend, I would not dare to be selfish. The Savior's gift is free. New life he'll give. Look up and live and whisper, it was for me. Therefore, seeing the rich provision before God and the real power in God, and because of the rich provision from God, let us rejoice in these three results that he gives us through justification by faith. Years ago, we ran a ministry in the same town, Willoughby, right next to East Lake, Ohio, Willoughby, Ohio. And we had this retreat for the Salt Company. The ministry was called the Salt Company. We had this retreat. It was college and career age type people. And we went to this campground, a Christian campground, and it was early spring, and the trees were just starting to, you know, bud out a little bit, you know, budding out and this kind of stuff, right? And it was warming up. It wasn't really cold at all in the morning, maybe a tad, but we thought we would have our devotions outside. It was just a weekend, have our devotions outside and sitting on an outdoor chapel. And they had a little altar there, a stone altar with a big cross behind it. And everybody sat on logs between two stumps, you know, that whole benches and a whole bunch of those. And so we had our devotion, and we had almost everybody came to this. It was really cool. And we, you know, it was in the 70s. It was in the 70s with, you know, the big broad brim. You know, John Qualiato still wears these. But, you know, we have the big broad brim. I'm only kidding, John. The big broad brim. What do you call the big? What do they call these things? Collars. Oh, this is really brilliant. You know, just a brilliant fashion guy. There you go. And so it was paisleys and bell bottoms, and it was long hair and all this kind of stuff. It was really interesting. Really interesting indeed. So I said to everybody after our chapel, I said, listen, we're going to have 45 minutes. We're going to have breakfast. Don't miss this. And, you know, those guys in that age, they are ravenous. They haven't eaten anything yet, and they're about to just, you know, like eat everything. And so what happens is this guy, you know, it's really, really interesting. This guy, he was like a hippie. He was like a hippie, and he had just trusted Christ as a savior. And so I go to the thing, I obey my own rule of getting there in 45 minutes, and people are eating, and then I see this guy, he's about 45 minutes late. So it's an hour and a half since I made that thing. He's 45 minutes late, almost all the food's gone. And he comes walking in, and I went up to him, and I said, hey man, how you doing? He goes, wow, man. Just like this, quote unquote. He goes, wow, man. You know, he says, wow. I just, wow, man, this is unbelievable, man. Wow. He said, you know, long hair, the bell bottoms, everything goes. He said, you told us to get here because, but wow, man, I really got lost, man. I was walking through the woods and I was enjoying nature, and wow, man, I looked around, I'm lost. I don't know where to go, man. And he said, I just don't know what to do. And he said, I don't know how to get out of these woods, and I just don't know what to say about this. And he goes, wow, man, this is incredible. And I said, well, how did you get here? He says, well, man, I saw that big cross where the chapel was. I saw that big cross, and I went straight to the cross. And I got out of the woods. That's exactly what Paul is telling us to do. Getting out of the woods of sinful behavior, sinfulness and everything, and being justified by faith, coming to the cross. And you will be found. Why don't we pray? Father, we come before you and we thank you that what a great God you are to us. What a wonderful God. And for me, and for us, the Lord Jesus did all that for us. And we're out of the woods and the weeds and the the swamp of sinfulness and what sinfulness does to a human being in terms of death, not only now, but forever, a place called hell. He has reoriented us and saved us and given us new life. We thank you for this justification by faith in him that gives us these blessed results. Thank you so much, and ask you, Lord, to help us to bask and to glory in the sunlight of this. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.